Well, I'm grateful to be here with the Abbey Church, and I've heard about the Abbey Church for quite a while, having arrived in Victoria almost a year ago, and so this is my first opportunity to come and join you in worship. And what isn't there to like about coming to church at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Because, and I know this is not true for everybody, but this morning, as a result, knowing that I was coming here this afternoon, well, I slept in a little bit later this morning. I didn't have to be off at an 8 o'clock Eucharist anywhere or anything like that. Went to the Y, had a workout, had brunch, spent a little bit of time reading. About 2:30, I thought, well, I guess I better get myself ready to go over to the Abbey Church. And that's a real nice rhythm for a Sunday, I think. So. because the first sentence in the gospel reading contains the word wilderness, in these days John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, I thought we could spend a minute just checking our own resource state about our experience of wilderness. What kind of wilderness places have you been to? For instance, anywhere in the prairies is wilderness, summer or winter, doesn't matter. North, south, east, or west, anywhere on the prairies is wilderness. And that is a wilderness that has shaped the mind and heart and spirit of a lot of people over a lot of time. Many of whom struggle with some of the values that have come out of that wilderness experience, some of them having to deal with scarcity and insufficiency, and it forms and shapes your response to the world. I was once in the actual wilderness of Judea, gathered there with a group of Anglican clergy, and we were celebrating the Eucharist of all things in the wilderness of Judea. And while we were there, up popped almost magically a little Bedouin boy who was about 7 or 8 years old. And he came up to each of the 43 of us who were there and said, one shekel, one shekel, one shekel. A shekel being worth about 35 cents probably. And it was one of the ways that he brought currency into the life of his Bedouin family. And they lived in that harsh and forbidding environment. And even though he was a young child, I could tell already he was beginning to develop the kind of skin that results from living in a harsh environment. In 1993, I was serving as the chaplain for 14th Service Battalion in Calgary, and we were doing a winter training exercise in the mountains behind Canmore, Alberta, speaking of a particular kind of wilderness. And when we left the barracks in Calgary to travel out there, it was minus 33. And when we arrived in the location to set up, it was minus 50. So the CO said to us, well, the training plan has changed, and so now the whole object of the exercise is to stay alive. And this was a very clear indication of the fine line that separates life and death in wilderness places. So what about you? What are some of the wilderness places that you have been to and experienced? The Bible has lots of things to say about wilderness. It's a prominent motif in both Testaments, because there, wilderness is a place of danger and risk and adventure. It's a borderland, an in-between place between order and chaos. It is a place of testing where we find out what we're made of, what we have as strengths, what we lack, what's missing for us. It is a place, above all, of encounter, and that usually means that it's going to be a life-altering experience. In that encounter, we're given the promise of a fresh start, but is always preceded by having to let go of certain things. And it is at this juncture that we meet John the Baptist and hear his voice calling for radical change. I like to think of John metaphorically as a manifestation of soul, our inner life, that dynamic center that is in all of us, that calls us to change and to grow up and to show up and to claim our personal authority to be present in the world as we were created to be. To have lived our life and not allowed divine spirit to find its expression through us and bring into the world what is intended through us is perhaps the greatest sin of all. I remember many years ago being at a retreat led by Henry Nouwen. Do you know Henry Nouwen? And partway through, he was talking on this theme, and partway through, one of the retreatants said, you know, Father Nouwen, it seems like you're suggesting that we should be little Christs or something. And he said, oh, no. I'm suggesting you be big Christs. Which is to say, live into the person that God has called you to be, which is not an easy thing to do. So one of the things that we are faced with in this experience of discovering the call of the soul to us is, what is it that I have to let go of? Now, if I were to hand out a piece of paper and a pen to each one of you and say, okay, I want you to answer this question. Where in my life am I stuck? And what do I need to let go of? I'll bet you that in 30 seconds, all of you would be writing something. Because there's a sense in which all of us know ways in which we are stuck and ways that we need to let go of certain things that we're called to let go of. At some level, we know change needs to take place. But letting go of the old is a much, much harder thing than it is to simply say it. Old loyalties, old understandings, old commitments have bound our days together in predictable ways and frequently binding us to a disabling past until John shows up calling for change. And how do you know when John is in the neighborhood calling for change? Well, it might be when you're feeling just a bit listless, a little bit restless. Maybe you're not sleeping so well, ruling out the fact that you maybe drink too much caffeine. Your dreams are disturbing and upsetting. You think that, oh, you know, life would just be better if I had a new partner or a new car or a new house or all kinds of new things that we can think of out there. Indications that things are just a little bit unsettled for us is a pretty good indication that John is in the neighborhood. And John is calling for your attention. And John is saying, it's time to let some things go. It's time to change. It's time to prepare yourself for the opportunity to be renewed and remade and recreated. Now, much in our personal history is worth preserving, of course, but there's always lots that needs to go. It's like cleaning out, you know, the closet, the basement, the garage, which we do every once in a while and almost always reluctantly, but, you know, once in a while we have to do these things in a sort of parallel way. We need to do that with our inner life as well. And so to let go of attitudes and behaviors and beliefs that no longer serve the soul's agenda, the inner life that we have, that no longer serves that agenda for growth and development and maturity and bringing our full self to the world. There's a great insight that comes to us from Celtic spirituality that says, whatever is outer is also inner. And the simplest way to get an experience of this is just to stand on the shore beside the ocean. And as the water laps in against the shore, there are very few people that will not recognize the deep speaking to the deep. And there's something that's almost mystical about that experience. The outer and the inner have a way of being together and reflecting one another. And so when we hear John's invitation to prepare the way, to prepare to let go of things, to prepare to change, to prepare for new birth and new life. It's not a long ago and far away call. It's a here and now. Amen.
That's a good share.